warm welcome to those who are worshiping with us this morning. Our scripture lesson is from chapter 10 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. So far the reading, our text is verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. The occasion of my choosing this passage is, of course, our celebration today of fathers, godly fathers. And a few weeks back, we had Mother's Day, and then we had a baptism and a confession of faith, so I did not devote a separate sermon to that. But our text deals with fathers and mothers, the gift of God to his people. And in our passage, maybe perhaps in this past week, boys and girls, you might have wondered what gift will we give Dad for Father's Day? What gift will gladden their heart? Our passage tells us what gift will gladden the father's heart. The attention of our passage is, of course, upon sons and daughters. The calling that sons and daughters have to bring joy to their parents, bring joy to their parents by walking in wisdom. It's very obvious from verse 1 that Chapter 10 begins a new section in the book of Proverbs. Chapters 1 through 9 are a rather lengthy introduction to the book. And that introduction to the book sets forth before us the value and the worth of wisdom. Wisdom is precious. More precious than silver or gold. And that wisdom is personified in chapter 8 for us. And now it is the father that is speaking to his son here in Proverbs, saying, "Give ear to me, so that he may be used to impart wisdom and understanding to his son." Listen. He urges his son and daughters to walk in wisdom, to choose wisdom, to seek it as fine gold. In this introduction, then, the father is urging covenant sons and covenant daughters to listen to that instruction of wisdom. And now in chapter 10, when they do that, when sons and daughters embrace that instruction, they will bring joy to their father and their mother. So chapter 10 begins now, after that lengthy introduction, begins the Proverbs. Proverbs are very short, pithy statements that grab your attention. They are added one upon another like kernels of corn on a cob, or like many different grains of wheat, all baked together into a bread. Each one has that nugget of truth that you enjoy But you take them all together for God's will for our lives. And these pithy little statements quite often are repeated over and over to stress the importance of that truth. For example, this idea about obedience and wisdom bringing gladness to the Father's heart, we find in several different chapters. Let me read just a couple of them to see how familiar that theme it runs again through Proverbs. So in Proverbs 10, verse 1, we read, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." If you go to Proverbs 15, we read in 20 almost the same words, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." In chapter 23, we read in verse 15, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine." The father is speaking to the son, the joy, the gladness that he has when the son is a wise son. Again, verse 16, Proverbs 23, verse 16, "Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things." In that same chapter, verse 24, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." And only one more passage yet, Proverbs 29, where we read verse 3, "Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance." So that theme this morning, the wise son gladdens the heart of his father, and we can add, and his mother. That's the gift that you can give, boys and girls, young people, young adults, taking heed to the instruction of your parents. Notice the gift that brings joy. It is an instruction in wisdom. Second of all, the need to continue in that wisdom. And then thirdly, the joy of doing so. A wise son. Wisdom has been the theme of the first nine chapters. What is that wisdom? That wisdom, first of all, is not the wisdom of the world. In the world, there can be a great intellect. There can be a lot of education. In the world, those fathers too want their children to succeed, to do wonderful things like them, and they become very proud about them. How they rejoice when sons become lawyers or doctors or engineers or those involved in technology, when they make a name for themselves. When they take the top grades in the class, maybe are the valedictorian of their class. Pride in themselves, in their own success and their prosperity, and pride in their children who succeed. And all that is really vanity. All those degrees, Who was going to know 10 years later on that you were the valedictorian of your class? And when you're taken off from this earth, who's really going to know about that successful business that you had? Vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. Mere money and prestige and honor for a little while. And yet those fathers in the world work so hard for those things for their children. And we have to be careful as God's children that that doesn't become our goal. Of course we're happy when our children succeed in their life. But that's not the most important thing, is it? What's more important is wisdom, that is godly wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. That our children, along with us, know God and love God and serve God with their whole life. They acknowledge our God as their God. They stand up in our midst and they confess their faith. They love God. They stand in awe and reverence of God. And they stand before God's word. And they say, I'm not going to do what's right in my own eyes, but I'm going to do as God instructs me in his word. That's going to be the lamp to my feet. That spiritual wisdom is not found in the world, but is only found in God, and it is God who gives it and works it in the hearts of his elect people. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And their life is characterized by the author of Proverbs, not only as vanity, but also destruction. Their lives of the wicked have no lasting significance. But the wise son knows God, loves God, acknowledges God as his or her God, and stands in awe of him, and presses then his whole life in service of God. That wisdom, a wise son, that wisdom is very practical. That's where the book of Proverbs is such a beautiful book. Read for devotions around the table, young people, studied for your devotions. Just one verse can be a beautiful meditation for an evening. What does it mean to be a child of God, and how do I conduct myself to show my love for God? And so the truth is laid out here in such a way that every area of life is addressed. Every area of life is addressed in that book of Proverbs. Sometimes folks want to make a distinction between doctrinal preaching and practical preaching. It's a false dilemma. Doctrinal preaching is practical preaching. Now, sometimes the pastor might not bring out all the applications that he ought to, but doctrine is practical. It makes a difference for our life. What one believes characterizes and influences and directs a person how they're going to live. And so laid before us, the wise son is taught here by God in his word how to carry out his life in every area, in every sphere. What to watch out for, what to do. What is good? What is pleasing to the Lord? a wise son. That wisdom is set forth in the first chapters, and especially in chapter 8, as a person. Listen to verse 12 of chapter 8. We read there, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." I, wisdom, it's a person. And the many commentators that say it's Christ are correct. Wisdom is Christ. The wise son is one who is a Christian, one who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, knows him as a Savior. In Christ and Christ alone are all the treasures of wisdom. In Christ Jesus, crucified on the cross, there is our salvation. There is the forgiveness of our sins. They're taken away. There is the righteousness of God imputed to us. Christ is that wisdom. And Christ imparts that wisdom. It is Christ who makes a wise son or a wise daughter. Highest good is living out one's life for Christ Jesus. Confessing him not only with words, but with a life lived for him. Yes, a wise son makes glad the heart of a father. But that wisdom doesn't just come to him. We said God is the author of that wisdom. Christ is that wisdom. God has to impart that wisdom, but God uses means, doesn't he? He uses instruments. And the instruments are parents, godly parents. Godly parents who love their children, work with their children. Look at the way that Proverbs 1 begins. Proverbs 1, verse 8. We read, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Laid before us in our text is the responsibility of godly parents. A father and mother. Here is the covenant obligation to bring up our children in the fear and the understanding and the knowledge of God. A few weeks back on Mother's Day, we read about Abraham, didn't we? In Genesis chapter 18, where the Lord says, "I know Abraham," and the Lord, Abram finds favor in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he will bring up his children in the knowledge of God. He will teach his children. "For I know him," Genesis 18, verse 19, "for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken unto him." The covenant obligation. Moses lays that out for us, doesn't he, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Notice that has to first of all be in our hearts. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." The covenant obligation. God imparts this wisdom. It's His wisdom, but He uses instruments. He uses godly parents. And so in Proverbs 1, verse 8, when Solomon says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother," the Hebrew words there that are used are two different Hebrew words. The father is the head of the home. It is his primary responsibility, the upbringing of the children. And the word that's used there, instruction, has the idea there of the principles of life, who we are, what our sins are, where we're saved, how we are to live. Fathers, it is your task as the head of the home to see that your children are brought before these principles of God's word. And the Hebrew word that is used there for the mothers is the word that is used for the Pentateuch, the law. The idea there is the Bible stories, the first five books of the Bible that would lay out the history of God's dealing with His people. The mothers in the home with the little ones, and as they grow older, reading the Bible stories with them and going through their catechism lessons with them. Parents must instruct their children. It doesn't just happen. And you don't say, "I'm going to leave it up to the children to learn their catechism. Hopefully they do it." You don't say, "I'm going to leave it up to the children to have their devotions. Hopefully they have it. They are going to make up their own mind." Godly covenant parents instruct. Teach, show their children. Oh, what diligence that requires, doesn't it? As Moses points out, it's a full-time task. Diligence. What self-sacrifice. Perhaps fathers after working all day or mothers after working all day, you just want to sit down and have a quiet time. Leave me alone. No. The children. The children. You keep giving and keep giving and keep giving. Speaking to them. Showing them. Loving them. What self-sacrifice it means. Monetarily too, doesn't it? As we use our good Christian schools, it takes a good chunk of your take-home pay. It might mean that you have to work extra hours or maybe even a second job. But you do it because you want your children to be instructed in the Word of God in every area of life as they're being molded and shaped. It takes commitment, doesn't it? You don't always feel like more instruction. You're tired. And the bills keep on coming in. But commitment. My children and gaining this wisdom is the most important thing that I can give to them. It's a daily concern. Not just once in a while. Oh yes, I should do this with the kids. I should read another Bible story with the kids. Daily concern. A prayerful concern. Coming with word of mouth, but also coming with a godly example. We read in Proverbs 20, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. The just man doesn't just speak right things. He doesn't say to the children, do as I say, but don't do as I do. But the just man walketh in his integrity, and the children see that. Word and deed, and are blessed. Oh, boys and girls, young people, sometimes you might not think so, but godly parents are the most wonderful blessing God gives you. Parents that care enough to instruct, to warn, at times to discipline. It's hard on our flesh. Godly parents are a blessing. Be thankful that your parents care enough to speak to you, to discipline you, to care about your life, your upbringing. At times you might be tempted to say, oh, Dad, don't give me another sermon. I've heard that from my children at times. Be thankful. Be thankful, boys and girls, young people, young adults, for parents that care and are diligent and constant and committed daily to impart knowledge and wisdom. God uses that means. That brings me to the second point, then, the need to continue in that wisdom. The implication is not merely that parents teach, give knowledge, give instruction, impart wisdom, but that the children receive and learn from their parents. Not in one ear and out the other ear. Oh, the calling that comes to our covenant youth here. If we just go through the first chapters of the book of Proverbs, one finds that call to children to heed, to receive it. Proverbs 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear it, heed it, don't forsake it. Hold on to it. Proverbs 2, the first six verses. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. There's work, young people. Not just in one ear and it happens, but applying it to yourselves, inclining to it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Receive, incline your ears, apply thine heart. Chapter 3, the first four verses. My son, forget not my law. Not in one ear, out the other ear. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And so, God's word continues that importance of children hearing, applying, inclining themselves to it, and not forsaking. What is God's word saying? You children, you young people, you young adults, embrace that instruction that is given to you. Take that instruction as a guide for your life. Not saying, well, the old fogies, what do they know about it? We live in a new age. Your father, your mother have lived in the same world as you with the same temptations and sins. Not only a sinful world, but a sinful flesh. Listen. Listen to them. Embrace their words and apply it to your life. Learn how practical that instruction is for you. Learn how antithetical it is. The world out there says if you want to have fun, if you want to have joy, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. All wicked things. That's the foolishness of the world. But that's also the sinful pride of our own hearts. I know better. Why should I listen to Dad or Mom? And as you young people grow older, yes, there is that desire for independence. I want to be free from Dad and Mom's control. And independence is good, yes. We raise you children up in order to let you go. But independence doesn't mean rebellion. It doesn't mean turning away or, as we read in the Proverbs, forsaking the law of thy mother. But independence means I do these things now not because Dad and Mom say I have to do them, but I do them because I see that it's good for me and I want to do it. Receive, learn, embrace, apply that knowledge. Apply that knowledge, especially because of the sinful world that we live in. And that's why Solomon gives this instruction to his son. Warnings. Temptations are going to come to you and are going to grab a hold of you. What are you going to do in that temptation? Evil companions out there in the world will say, come join us. This is the way to have fun. Try this drug or try that drug or drown yourself in alcohol. Join this group. Try this. The warnings come from parents, from the Word of God. Do not be friends with the world. Do not be friends of the world. For you've been called out of the world to be a special people, a peculiar people, a people unto the Lord. What warnings come from the Father to the Son and to the covenant daughter about immorality. Oh, the immorality. The urge to engage in sexual relationships outside of marriage, before marriage. A temptation that comes because it seems like everyone else is doing out there in the world because it's portrayed in all kinds of literature and television shows. And yes, even by others in the Christian community and perhaps in our Christian schools. Everyone's doing it. And how sad in that age when in some church periodicals there are authors writing, arguing that young people ought to be able to enjoy and indulge in fornication. It's not such a big issue, they say. Be lenient. Young people, read the book of Proverbs. Listen. Listen to the parents as they give instruction about sex, about dating, warning about immorality. God's word comes in the Proverbs speaking about the vanity of riches, how the fool will go out to try to gain more and more and more things for himself, only to lose it all. How God's word, how the Father instructs the Son in Proverbs about drunkenness. Nothing wrong with drink or with alcohol itself, but what is wrong is a person that doesn't know how to handle it. What is wrong is abuse of good gifts. And that's where parents teach. And parents must show by example how wrong it is to be drunken, lest the children think, or the young people think, that's the only way to have fun. How God's word warns here in Proverbs, how the father gives instruction to the son and to the daughter about laziness. And how the author gives instruction about strife, inordinate anger and hatred, how it stirs up. And the list goes on. And we need wisdom to avoid those sins and those temptations. Children. Young people, young adults, heed my instruction, says the father to his son. Do not forget these things, the law of thy mother. Incline thine heart to get wisdom. What a calling. You young people, you've been born in covenant homes, most of you. You've been given a covenant instruction. What will you do to it? Will you listen? Will you desire it? Do you ask your parents for advice? What do you think? What should I do? Listen. Receive. Receive it in your heart, not just in the ear, not just in the mind. You know what dad, mom said, but in the heart. And then live that instruction. That will bring gladness to your parents. Now perhaps, boys and girls, young people, you say, well, is that so important? Is that the motive for listening to the instruction, that it brings gladness to my parents? Or perhaps some of you might say, what do I care about dad, mom? I want joy and gladness in my own life. I want to have what's fun. Who cares about dad, mom? Dad and mom are given by God to give that instruction, to lead you so that you have a life that matters, a life that is lived for Christ Jesus, a life that points away from self to the glory of God. That gives joy and gladness to parents and to you, young people. That's the life worth living. Heed that instruction. Live that instruction. Don't turn a deaf ear. Don't give a funny look to dad and mom when they tell you something again and again. A wise son makes the heart of his father glad. What is that gladness? It is not an earthly or carnal kind of gladness where we say, well, see that boy or that girl of mine? See what a fine Christian they are? I sure did a good job bringing them up. We don't get any credit. In spite of our weaknesses and failures, it is God who gives wisdom. It is God who works that wisdom in the hearts of our children. Yes, He uses us as parents. So it's not an earthly or carnal joy or pride. Look at my kid. But rather, it is a joy. It is a gladness in the Lord. It is a joy and a gladness in salvation. Called out of darkness, brought into the light of God's word, we live for Him. That's the joy. A wise son gladdens the heart of the father. Oh, how fathers and mothers rejoice when their children listen and obey and live for Christ Jesus. 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Doctrine, truth, practical. We believe it in the heart and we live it out in our lives. I have no greater joy, John says. Your parents have no greater joy. More important than whether you succeed in business, do real well in school, all those things are important, but far more important that my child knows and loves the Lord, lives in awe and reverence, confesses Jesus Christ, and lives for Christ Jesus. There's a contrast presented in our text, isn't there? It'd be nice if we could just put a period after the first part of the text. A wise son, a wise daughter. But the next part of the text talks about the foolish son, the foolish daughter, a heaviness of their mother. Over against the wise son who heeds the instruction, who inclines his heart to that understanding, who applies it to his life, there is the foolish son and daughter, the reprobate. Foolish because they despise wisdom and instruction. They throw it away like Esau took his birthright and he threw it away. For just something to eat. Oh, how foolish. What makes them foolish is they close their ears. In their hearts they say, I don't want to hear what Dad and Mom have to say. I don't want to hear what the Word of God has to say. I don't want that in my life. I want to do what is right in my own eyes. The contrast is not only between the wise and the foolish, the contrast is between what they do. While the wise son brings gladness to his father's heart, the foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Great sorrow, great heaviness of heart. Great and many tears shed and prayers offered for the disobedient, rebellious child. Sorrow over children that depart from the truth. Can you in your mind see that father of the prodigal child who says, give me my inheritance and I want to go off on my own? What tears must have been shed In that time when that son was away from home, wasting his inheritance and his life, living like the foolish people of the world. Tears, I've seen them. I've shed them myself. Over disobedience, I had one of my children say to me, later on in life, of course, far worse than the spankings or far worse than the being grounded was when I saw Dad crying. Heaviness of heart. Boys and girls, young people, young adults, when we turn away from the good instruction of God's word. And Proverbs talks about these foolish people that are a heaviness to their parents, about their destruction, God's judgment upon them. We read about it in this chapter, and many of the other chapters speak about it. Oh, may rebellious children turn from their ways. If you boys and girls or young people have been putting your fingers in your ears when your parents have been talking to you, if you at times despise what Dad and Mom have to say as being old-fashioned, may God work repentance. May He use this sermon so that perhaps today you say, sorry, Dad and Mom, for the times that I was angry and I disobeyed and I rebelled. Yes, that's the prayer of the mother with heaviness and the father with tears, that their children will turn from the evil way and heed wisdom and walk in wisdom. A wise son maketh a glad father. That is a proper motive for walking in wisdom. That the parents that God has given you to instruct you, you bring them joy. A joy in God, that God has used them, that God is living and working in their hearts and lives. Even in the world, little children like to please their parents, don't they? Especially in the household of faith, we want to bring joy to our parents. That's a Father's Day gift that you can give. Better than what Kohl's or Penny's or Macy's have in their catalogs of shirts and ties. Obedience. Heeding good instruction. Living out of the Word of God. Living in wisdom, living in Christ Jesus. Oh, heeding parents so that there's unity in the covenant home. Children then are partakers in that joy in the Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the practical wisdom in Thy word. Open our ears, incline our hearts. For by ourselves we are so rebellious and stubborn and proud. Teach us, O Lord. Bless our homes. Bless our parents. We thank Thee for godly parents that teach us the way we should go, that we may not depart from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 360 talks about that blessing of the covenant home. We'll sing the first three stanzas and stanza five. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.